Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners. Hallelujah. This is Evangelist Vine Dumas. I am so glad to be in the presence of the Lord today and with all of you. Yes, you, sister, my brother, I've missed you. It's been some time. God bless you. Believe me, I have been working in the Lord all of the time. If not on this talk show, it's been many other different talk shows that we've been working with, or ministries that's with the Women in Power. So we just thank God for the opportunity to just be back together again. Our guest call-in number, again, is 646-652-4916. We will be opening up the lines a little later for some calls if we get the time. God bless you again. Again, this is Evangelist Vine Dumas from Tri-Anointed Ministries. Hallelujah. God bless. Well, we don't want to take up too much time. We tried to find a slot here, and I'm thankful that it was hard to even find a slot tonight, because even over in the morning, people are hearing from the Lord, and I just got out of one session on the telephone with the Women in Power that lasted a three-hour session of just praise and worship led up to this very moment, and I jumped on here and was able to find something available for like 30 minutes. So I thank God for that 30 minutes. If we can extend it, if you're in the chat room, I see you there. God bless you. If you get cut off and we go beyond that, I just remind you that go back and download the archives, pull up the archives. It will be available for you, the full session, in case that we should get cut off, because, as you know, 30 minutes, when God says, it may just be definitely run over. All right, well, let's just jump right into the Word. Let's start with our scripture for today. God has put a word on my heart, not just for you and you and you, but it may be for someone else that you know. You may be interceding for someone today. So make sure that we get our sword, and let's get our pen and our paper, and let's jot down what it is that we need to know, that we need to carry with us, and we need to just remember that God's word is the most powerful thing. God's word overrules anything that man has to say. God's word outstands and outlasts any economy situation, any fads that's going on right now, anything that's in today and out tomorrow. God's word is forever, forever and ever. Hold on. Catch a hold to it. Grab it. We're looking for something to grab onto. Let's hold on to the word. The word will not leave you. The word will always be here for you. Since the beginning of time, the word has never changed. It's not changing for you, sisters and brothers. I ask you to please bear with me. I'm recovering from the flu right now, but God is so good. Hallelujah. Still just praise him through it all, through it all. It could have been so much worse. I thank God for recovery. Thank God for who he is in my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to be reading in Isaiah tonight. Let's get our books turned over to Isaiah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's a little lengthy here, so we're going to go ahead and get started. Isaiah 55, and we're going to start with verse 6, and we're going to go through to let's finish through 13. Isaiah 55, starting at verse 6, and we're going to take it all the way through until verse 13. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Seek the Lord while he may be found. It lets you know that it's not going to always be a time for it. One more time. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. Until our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. One more time, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower, and it gives bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It is not, it will not, it cannot return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire. Hallelujah. And achieve the purpose. Everything has a purpose. If you're doing something, it's not a purpose behind it. You're wasting time, but it will accomplish what I desire, declares the Lord, and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. Oh, don't we need peace right now? Be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills, it said they will burst. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? You will be led out in joy, such joy. And then it said that you will be led in peace. And the mountains and the hills is going to do something that we haven't witnessed before. They're going to burst into song before you. And all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of the berries, the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renowned, for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, thank you just for your presence. Thank you for the opportunity just to come forth today, dear Father, to be used as a vessel, dear Father, for you to speak to your people, to speak to your children, dear Father. We are your servants. Oh, and we come to you, dear Father, with open hearts and reception as ready to receive the mighty word that's going to change our health. It's going to change our mind. It's going to change the way that we accomplish things. It's going to change the way that we achieve things. It's going to change the way that we treat our sisters and our brothers. It's going to change a mother and a daughter's relationship. It's going to change a father and a son's relationship. It's going to mend some broken heart. It's going to be there, dear Father, to comfort and put that closing onto that relationship that has been bruised and battered and beaten. That even the counselor said that could not be fixed, that could not be healed. Oh, but you are a healer. We thank you, Jesus, for your love. We thank you for your just openness with us. Thank you for your word. We thank you for your peace. I thank you for using me and my ministry to touch so many lives around the world. So as I decrease, dear Father, oh, dear Father, this is not about Evangelist Vaughn, but as I decrease, oh, dear Father, we ask you to flood us with your knowledge. Flood us with your anointing. Flood us with your spirit, Jesus. And be with us and around us like the walls around Jerusalem. Hallelujah. In the name of Messiah, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, how are you this morning? How are you, sisters and brothers? Excuse me. Just needed to get a quick drink of water there. God bless. I am doing fine. I'm praising the Lord. And it's a good day in the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a good day in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, today's session is about prayer. Because prayer gives us an opportunity to come to the Lord. We need to know about the power of prayer. You know, it's so often that we run to our sisters and our brothers in our time of need. And too many times we may ask for prayer without even praying for ourselves. Can I get an amen to that? We may ask for prayer without praying for ourselves. You see, sisters and brothers, we have to be careful of who it is that we even ask to pray with us. So we definitely have to be careful of who we ask to pray for us. Ah, come on now. You see, because the appearance of a man may appear that he has a prayer life, in actuality, that may not be true. So a lot of times, the source that we go into may be helping build onto our problems instead of actually helping us achieve and accomplish deliverance. Achieve and accomplish the healing. Achieving and accomplishing direction. If you ask me to pray with you, I believe that we should pray. See, it's easy, even with best intentions, to say, I will pray for you. But you know, how many times does that person forget to pray for you? Person may forget in their prayer time exactly who it was. What about you? Do you forget your situation? What about you? Did you forget that your body was in pain? What about you? Did you forget that your husband was getting ready to walk out that door? What about you? Why can't you pray for you? Now, don't get me wrong. Hear me from the Spirit. Hallelujah. We have to have discernment of who we involve in our prayer life. That's all I'm trying to tell you, sisters and brothers. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't ask anyone to pray with you. I'm not saying that at all. That's not what we're saying. But I'm just simply saying that you have the same opportunity to pray for yourself. I'm just simply saying, can you start to pray for yourself? Hallelujah. You know, we're servants of the Lord. And this is just to remind you or introduce to you who you are in the Lord. See, today we're no longer servants as in the Old Testament, Through Jesus' blood, we've been made sons and daughters. Understand? Right? Yeah. Well, we have been adopted through Jesus Christ, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We have been adopted into the Holy Family. So now we are actually heirs. We're heirs with the Father and a joint heir with Jesus. That's something to get happy about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear you, sister. I hear you, my brother. You say, I don't feel like a joint heir. I feel like I'm all alone when I'm going through this. I don't feel like a joint heir. Hallelujah. That's why we can't concentrate totally on our feelings. It will lead us astray. It will lead us astray. But we are heirs with the Father and joint heirs with Jesus. So today, if God ever calls on you and all you have to say is, Lord, your son is listening, that's all you have to say. Lord, your daughter is listening. We're sons. We're daughters of the Lord. Hallelujah. In prayer life, we get the opportunity to talk to our Holy Father. We get the opportunity to hear from our Holy Father. And when he calls us, we get to answer to our Holy Father as, Holy Father, your daughter's listening. Your son is listening. I encourage myself about who I am in Christ every day. Oh, I encourage myself with scriptures. Sometimes I just look in the mirror and just remind myself that I'm in a family of God. I'm in a family of God. I have been birthed. This thing has been birthed. I've been birthed into the kingdom. The kingdom of God. Because of you, Jesus. The greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So the alcohol right now that I'm having a problem with it and the stupid decisions that I'm making right now because of it, the way that I'm setting myself up to be a victim of all kind of circumstances because of what I'm doing to myself, even then, it's not enough to separate me from the love of God. I still have an opportunity to stop and turn it over to God. I still have an opportunity for him to remove that from me. Now, I have to, it only fails if I fail to give it to the Lord, if I fail to continue to bring it before the Lord, if I fail to continue to struggle until I get to where I need to be with God. Because alcoholism is nothing that God can't remove. He'll take the taste from your mouth right there. It may be a process, but through that process step, he's teaching you something through each step. But you got to be strong and go through your steps. Then the drugs, whatever it is, an abuser, whatever it is you need from the Lord. See, if you can get him deep down inside of you, what I'm trying to say to you is, though, is that greater is he. If you get him inside of you, if you're pouring the word inside of you, if you're pouring anointing inside of you, if Christ is pouring these things over you, in you, through you, it begins to, it says, your cup will overflow. It'll touch your family members. It'll touch the people on your job. It'll touch the way that you treat people. It'll touch the way that you even look at alcohol. It'll touch the way that you look at you. Because greater is he. Hallelujah. When you get him inside of you, greater. Oh, let's just say it for a minute. Greater. Greater. He's greater than that situation. He's greater than that person that's really hounding you right now. He's greater than that fear that you have built up in your mind. He's greater. He's greater. You know, you can go on a marathon, and one is coming up shortly here for leukemia, I think it is, that I'm going to participate in, if it be God's will. But you know what? On that marathon, I can be as hot and thirsty and as tired as I want to. And as we go to different markers, they have fluids there for us to put into our bodies to give us that extra boost, to give us, make us make sure we can go that extra mile. But you know what? If I stand there and just take the cup and never turn it up and put it, get it inside of me, I can't complain when I'm hospitalized for dehydration. I shouldn't complain. And that's the same. When we run and ask people to pray for us, we never know what the prayer even, if they're especially not doing it, they're in your presence. You're not ever getting the opportunity to actually go to the source and get him in you. Just because they have a Bible. Again, remember me holding the cup. I can hold on to this cup. But if they never open that Bible and start to reach in there and start to eat and grasp, study the word to show themselves worthy. If they never start to taste of it, it can't change lives. The prayer life can't work for you. But when you can get God inside of you, when you turn that cup up and get it inside of you, oh, hallelujah, what a refreshing feeling it feels. We've all been thirsty. Thirsty. We've all been thirsty. What a refreshing feeling it is to get that water, to get that Gatorade. Same feeling, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, what a refreshing, powerful, anointing feeling it is to get God down inside of me. And then whatever my situations are, see, in all of this time, we haven't really mentioned about dwelling on that issue. Because the person you ask to pray for you may be a worrier. So instead of then praying for you, they got so much worry on their mind that they just basically just talking, screaming, yelling, talking. It may tickle your ears and sound good for a moment. But then that seed falls down, and it falls on hard, unseasoned soil, and it's quickly taken away by the birds. Do you want your seeds eaten up? Let's sow on good soil. Let's begin to develop a prayer life. Then he that is within me, hallelujah, is greater than he that is in the world. So then when you look around at all the different situations that's going on in the world, then you can stand strong. Then you can say, how are you still able to stand strong in this economy? Didn't you hear about, we got the reshifting, the changing of presidents right now, changing of attitudes right now. Aren't you worried about what's going to slip through there, because anytime there's a change, things happen. You know, that's just a redirection. The Bible speaks of change. We have to learn the word to understand what the reshifting is about. What goes on in these times? Learn to pray. All of those things will come together. Because we're no longer called servants. Even though we serve him. Oh, God, we serve you. But he said, I call you my son. I call you my daughter. So I just want to say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Get up just saying, Jesus, what do you want me to do today? Hallelujah. You have to develop a spiritual perception. See, if you want to hear and understand the voice of God more clearly in your life, then you must, not optional, you must develop your spiritual perception. It's not a Sunday thing. Oh, no, it's not the ones on Saturday. It's not a Saturday thing. No, this is something that becomes a part of your life. You don't get up and put on clothes just on one day of the week. No, that's something that's a part of your life. You clothe yourself. And that's exactly what it is with the word. You must develop your spiritual perception, not mental or physical perception, but a spiritual perception. Hearing and understanding are the key. You looking for the key? Hearing and understanding. That's a key. See, some people never hear with their spirit because they're always listening with their minds. They got the TV on. They're listening to different things on there. Or they got their girlfriend or their friend in their ear on the cell phone trying to say a quick little prayer. You know that God is trying to say something, but all you can hear is through with your carnal mind. Are your five senses. A dangerous Christian is a Christian who relies on their five senses alone. A dangerous, misled person is a person who relies on their five senses alone. Hearing God's voice is a spiritual thing, not a mental thing. It's not how much you know. It's not just where you go. It is a spiritual thing. Others hear God speaking to their spirit, but they don't have any understanding. Okay? Now, the first group, remember, they don't even hear God speaking to their spirit because they're so consumed with their minds. They're listening with their minds. Are their five senses. And then there are others who hear God speaking to their spirit, but they don't have any understanding. So what good is that? You hear, but you have no understanding. See, the Bible tells us in Hosea 4 and 6, the Bible tells us that people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. See, that is an area, every area. But the worst is in the spiritual area. A lack of knowledge or understanding of the word can really mess up people's life. Lack of knowledge, lack of understanding can really mess up people's lives. It's important for us to develop spiritual perception so that when we read what Jesus said, we can let it sink into our spirit. And then, and only then, can we do it. If you're not doing it, there's no need of hearing with the Spirit and not understanding. Because if you don't understand, you don't know what to do. Hallelujah. So again, it's important for us to develop a spiritual perception, that when we read what Jesus said, then we can let it sink into our spirits and then do it. Prayer is God's language. So how do we get spiritual perception on the word? How? By speaking God's language. Whether that's in your own words or through your heavenly prayer language or tongues, you've got to be a person of prayer if you want to hear God's voice. Now, that doesn't mean that you have got to spend 9 hours on your knees. You can pray standing, sitting down, doing whatever. You don't have to be in a closet. Excuse me. You don't have to do that. Oh, but bless God. If you want to, you can. Woo! Hallelujah. But prayer creates spiritual perception so that your ears are quickening to hear the voice of God. You want to hear the voice of God? You want to hear the directions that He's talking for your life? You got yourself into that mess. Now, you want to hear the word? You say, well, I thought I was hearing from the word, from God the whole time. I thought I was, this is what He wanted me to do. I thought. Maybe because you was listening with the mind. You had your five senses too involved. But now do you want to hear from the Lord of how to get you out of where you're at? Hallelujah. Well, prayer creates that spiritual perception. Excuse me. Again, it allows your ears to hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. It allows your ears to hear the voice of God. Prayer and reading the word are the tools. Prayer and reading the word are the tools to retrain your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. We have to retrain ourselves. Sisters and brothers, you know of all the things that you've been through. You know of all of the worldly things that you've tried. You know when you get up in the morning, you're trying to match up with somebody out there in the world. You just want to fit in with the world. You don't want to look different. You want a husband because that's what everybody else has. You feel weird because you're the third wheel. You feel weird because you haven't been blessed with a wife yet. So you're willing to just basically sell your body. Some getting paid money, and some you just want a warm touch. You're selling your body just for a warm touch, just to say that someone touched me, just to say that someone wanted to kiss me, just to say I was in someone's arms. You're selling your body. You're selling yourself cheap because you're trying to live up to the standards of the world. Hallelujah, but hold on now. Again, hear me with the Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God wants you to be happy. Whoever told you besides the world that serving the Lord was boring, that serving the Lord was going to be something that was not fun, that you can't have fun serving the Lord? It's a lie. It's a lie. But God knows. But timing. Do you want Him to give you a husband just because you think you're ready for one? Do you want Him to give you a husband that's not ready for you yet? Do you know that it is things that you could be doing right now, working to getting yourself prepared. And it may have nothing to do with a relationship. You know, if you're a farmer, before he can get ready to have a crop, it's things he has to prepare to do. In the long haul, he can see the vision that he wants. He wants tomatoes, and he wants green beans, and he wants corn. He wants greens of different varieties. He may want fruit, veggies. He has different things that he wants, that he is expecting, that he is desiring from this garden. Hallelujah. But he doesn't even have the land yet. So now he can go get seed. Buy the seed. He can go to co-op. He can go to the best ones and this one, and they say get the fertilizer. And he can ride in his truck and just throw it out on the ground, throw it out on the street, everywhere he goes, just throwing it out, hoping that it's just going to pop up and fertilize. That sounds weird. Sisters and brothers, when we treat ourselves like that, when we're willing to give ourselves to someone just to say, I'm with a woman, at least I have a girlfriend, I'm going to marry this woman just because she will marry me, I'm going to get up and go answer a booty call because somebody wants to choose me for that booty call. I have nothing else. At least I'm being chosen. At least somebody wants to hold me tonight. At least somebody's thinking about me tonight. At least somebody wanted to caress me. So you sell yourself. But that's not getting you, that's not preparing you in any way for your husband that you're praying for. That's not preparing you in any way for that wife that you're praying for. That's pulling you back. That's the lie from the enemy, destroying the relationship between you and your God, deafening your ears that you can't hear through your spirit what God has for you to hear. Oh, sisters and brothers, we have a different way of looking at prayer life. We got to look at this like when we're in prayer with God, we have an audience with God. When you pray, just start to think of that. You have an audience with God. Your prayer life now, you have an audience. When most of the time, that's all we want is someone to pay attention to us. That's why we need it to be held on to. We need somebody to pay attention to us. Well, we have a whole audience when we pray. It's not one-sided. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So prayer and reading the word, they're the tools that I'm giving to you today. Will you accept the tools that I extend to you today? They're the tools that I give because thus said the Lord to give. He giveth to us. Prayer and reading the word. They're the tools to retrain. Start retraining your soul. They're the tools to retrain your mind. They're the tools to retrain your emotions, your will. And then when prayer, hallelujah, and only prayer, is a focus, when prayer is a focus, you know, before you're getting ready to give birth, they tell you to find a focal point. When you find that focal point, nothing can get you off of it. I remember my daughter was going through it, and we was there, and we would kind of walk across and move out of my focal point. She didn't want nobody in that focal point. So when you can find prayer, when you get to the point, hallelujah, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you get prayer as your focal point,
Thank you, Lord Jesus. When you get reading the word, it is now your focal point. Can you say it with me? The word is spelled N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Nothing can block your focal point in your life. When prayer is a focus in your life, you become God-minded. You become God-minded. You see that person and you said, they're a totally different creature. Who do they think they are? I remember when. Thank God you can remember when. Because if you hang around them now, you are getting ready to see a new creature. You're going to have some new memories to go back and gossip about. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed of where God has brought you to. They're going to talk about you anyway. Why not let them tell them about the goodness that God has done, what God is doing in your life, what God has done and will continue to do. Hallelujah. As they see now that you have become God-minded, not a Bible-toting person that never opens it. Remember, you don't want to take the cup. You're thirsty but not drink. Hallelujah. But God-minded. You say something, you pick it up immediately. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The change shows immediately. Hallelujah. You're just like an antenna, catching all frequencies from the Lord, from the Spirit. It just gets in your spirit. So you just pick it up. Immediately, like the story of Samuel, when he heard the voice of the Lord as a young boy, you just begin to jump up and run to answer, saying, "You called? Hallelujah! You called?" Over and over again, "You called? Oh, but I still hear you calling my name. You called? Thank you, Jesus." And as you deepen your prayer life, start to develop a strong prayer life, you do. You get better at receiving because you get a stronger receiver. God can say, "I love you," very softly. And if your receiver is strong, you respond right back, "I love you too, Jesus. What do you want me to do?" He may say, "I just want to talk to you, that's all. I want to show you something in my word that's going to help you today. Thank you, Lord Jesus." You too are communicating, talking with God. It's that simple. Hallelujah. Talking with God is that simple. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to end for tonight. We've ran over our 30-minute segment. So, again, I thank you all for coming back into the archives so you can hear the full version. But we're going to pick right back up. We're going to go out and see can we extend this here and just bring it into a part two because it's very important. You must get this. This is going to be something, a yoke-breaking. This is going to change the way that you think about yourself, the way that you live your daily life starts with this prayer. Hallelujah. Starts with prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer gives you an audience with God. We will continue this one. But before we do, let's take nothing for granted. In case we never meet again, let's get the opportunity. Let's get excited for a moment. Let's just take a moment and get excited. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the hearers. Thank you, dear Father, for the ones that will not just hear with their minds or with their five senses, but will start to hear with their spirit, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. and not just hear with the Spirit, but that they would do something, that we would start to do something, that we would start to take the tools that you have given to us, prayer and reading the Word, and we will watch ourselves grow stronger. We will come across strength. We will enjoy being in strong harmony with you, Jesus. And our ears will start to hear. Our spirits will begin to be sensitive to your voice. Our receptor will get stronger as we receive your holy word. Because you are in us. And we know, Jesus, that when we pray, you are our audience. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our audience. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we give you all the praise and the glory until we meet again. Thank you, Jesus. Now, sisters and brothers, before I leave you, excited as we are right now, I just want to just ask you a question. Now, have you met? Some have not met, my friend. I never want to. I brag on my friend wherever I go. And once you meet him, so will you. Have you met my friend Jesus today? Hallelujah. If you don't, if you haven't met my friend Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I know it's different. I know Mama may have known him. I know you may have been in church all your life, and your parents may have taken you there from sun up until sun down. And I know that your mom used to read her Bible, and I know your mom would be in the kitchen just doing what she had to do, just reading her Bible, doing, just praying, just singing a little song, just being who she was in Christ. But now this is not about all of that. I thank God for all of that. But now I'm talking about you. Now I'm not talking about being a PK. I'm a PK. I'm a preacher's kid. My kids are PKs. They're preacher's kids. But they can't live on my salvation. They can't get to heaven because of what it is that I do. I can't get to heaven because of what it was that my father did or didn't do. Hallelujah. This is every man for himself. Again, this is every man for himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Move all of that out of the way. Stand before God. Stand before yourself right now and say, well, do I? Maybe I don't know him as my personal Savior. Maybe I don't have a personal relationship. But if you would like, I would like to take the time just to take this opportunity to introduce you to the greatest friend you ever have. That's why we have the word friend. He's our father. We can build a relationship with him. We can get, nothing's impossible for him. Hallelujah. If he enters into us, everything changes. He's never ending. There's no end to his love, no end to his mercies, no end to his patience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he's our holy dad. Hallelujah. He's our deliverer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And he calls us his sisters. He calls us, let me rephrase that. He calls us his sons and daughters. His sons and daughters. The friend, that's where we get the word. He is the friend, the only one. If you never meet another friend, someone says, I don't have nobody. I don't have family. I don't have a loved one. I'm not married. I don't even have a friend I can trust. He is that friend. This is your opportunity. And as you pray these words, You just have to believe. That's all. Just believe them in your heart. That's all that's required. And then the Bible says that you will be born again. Romans 10:9-10. Again, it's Romans 10, and then it's verses 9 and 10. Say you'll be born again. Just repeat after me. Jesus, come into my life. Oh, I know you're on a break right now, sister. You're working overnight, so you're on something, you're on a break, but just one moment. You have time. God will take care of all the rest of those issues out there. But right now, this is the most important time, right now. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person. Oh, hallelujah, and you right now. I need you right now, Jesus. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In the name I pray, in your name I pray, amen. When you receive someone as your Lord, that means you're willing to follow. You're willing to not second doubt. You're willing to accept the word. You're willing to want or grow a relationship. You say, I believe these things. Now, so if you've just prayed this prayer, all the angels stand with me in congratulations. Because you're a new creature in Christ. You are a new creature in Christ. And if 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the New Testament says, old things are passed away. Behold, come on, somebody, behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah, sister. I tell you right now, when you return out to that work floor, oh, hallelujah. Oh, it's a light around you that's going to shine through all the darkness. So don't get upset. Remember, when people around you is always trying to start confusion, it may be your light that is shining. See, darkness want to stay dark. Darkness don't want your light to shine. People doing wrong don't want to be brought out to the light. So if you, your light is shining, they will, their spirits will start to conflict with yours. They'll find fault with you. They'll start looking at things where she thinks she's better. They'll start doing anything. Hallelujah. You're a new creature in Christ. Friend, you have a whole new life with Jesus to look forward to, starting right now. Starting right now. Your slate is clean before the Lord. Your spirit has been reborn because of Christ's great sacrifice and love for you. Let me know of your decision to follow the Lord. God bless you as you begin a new life in Him. You may be coming back and you say, I've slid away and this and that has got me away, but I'm home. God bless you. Welcome home. God bless you. Until we meet again, God bless you. Again, this is Evangelist Von Dumas with Tri Anointed Ministries. You can reach me at 26210, area code 264-5287. Again, 210-264-5287. God bless. Bye-bye.